Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Many of us wonder sometimes what's going on with our brains, like when we can't recall a name that should be totally familiar to us or forget why we went into the kitchen. These worries take on a little more weight as we grow older. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Brain Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to slow cognitive decline and enhance memory and mental performance. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the Brain Health Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for my Supplement Starter Kit, Heart Health Protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest, Dr. Emily Eicher. Dr. Eicher is an expert in treatment of lymphedema and lipedema. We kind of laid the groundwork for a discussion of that in part one, so please refer to it for an introduction. The book, however, focuses on nutrition. Nutrition makes a real difference for these patients. Dr. Eicher can vouch for it because she, too, suffers from lymphedema, after a history of, lymph node, damage due to, a prior history of lymphoma. And she, in her own, scientific investigation, also, via personal experience, has discovered that there's some important nutritional correlates for management of these conditions. So, Dr. Eicher, what are some of the ways in which, nutrition, certain foods, have an impact on this? First, you mentioned sodium. Of course, sodium tends to cause water retention. We know that. So that's, I think, a pretty easily understood mechanism of water retention.
That is absolutely correct. Do we know a lot about spicy foods for affecting lymphedema? We don't know. But as a patient, as I mentioned, as a patient, I can tell that when the food is very spicy and very salty in combination, I can feel that in my leg in several half an hour later after ingestion. The same thing when, as a patient, I can tell that when I eat too much cheese, I can feel that my leg feels heavier. That is why we did extensive research on nutritional aspect for lymphedema and lipedema. And according to most of my lipedema patients, those are the ones who are suffering from abnormal distribution of fat from lower extremities, from the waist down. Patients are telling me, yeah, I cannot reduce much weight even though I am trying, but I like to eat dairy and I like to eat cheese a lot. When the patients went on what we call anti-inflammatory diet, as we are suggesting in our book on lymphedema and lipedema nutrition guide, the patient reduced weight. And just yesterday I had a wonderful mother and daughter, and unfortunately mother is stage 3 to 4 lipedema. And her daughter told me that she put her on anti-inflammatory diet in 2 weeks, and the mother lost 9 pounds on anti-inflammatory diet and eliminating dairy. So this is very encouraging for all the lipedema patients, and they probably would concur with the same, that anti-inflammatory is absolute key for lipedema patients.
What are some of the key pro-inflammatory foods, probably foods that are typical in the standard American diet, and what does an anti-inflammatory diet look like?
Well, typical food for, unfortunately, as you studied and I studied in New York, when you hit the subway, you have the aroma of donuts and croissants and so, and with that, too much sugar intake, too much dairy, it will only promote the inflammatory process in the system, and too much fat. overall, we eat way too much meat in our population in the United States than as opposed to Mediterranean population, where they are eating more beans and vegetables, and those are the inflammatory, anti-inflammatory aspects in a diet.
In other words, foods and rich in polyphenols, plant substances that have natural anti-inflammatory effects.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I love to point out, when I travel, usually in the European airports, you have one slice of the bread, one slice of the ham, one slice of maybe a little bit of, mm-hmm. of hard-boiled egg and a little parsley on the top of that. And here in the United States, you have supersizing sandwiches. And the supersizing sandwiches have at least half a pound of meat in it. That is absolute not necessary. And, of course, it promotes the inflammatory process in our system.
You know, I will tell you that I have an experience. I don't have lymphedema, but I had an experience once when I was driving. I took a long car vacation, you know, touring parts of Pennsylvania and parts south from New York. And I remember I was doing fine until I checked into an Arby's, which is a place where I remember from my childhood they make great sandwiches. And I said, well, you know, here's one meal that I can write off because this is kind of a food desert. I'm just going to grab a sandwich. And I remember as I drove after that, my feet swelled up and became extraordinarily painful. And I thought to myself, there's a lot of sodium in that meat, but maybe, just maybe there's some MSG or some chemicals. Does MSG or chemicals, can they play a role in promoting swelling?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is what we are not in favor of, eating oriental type of food where there is a lot of MSG or a lot of salt, even in a miso soup. Mm-hmm. If you think it's very clean, but it is loaded with salt. And, okay. Of course, we do swell up after that.
So that there may be certain other chemicalized foods which are to be avoided. So another pathway that you talk about, since this is a condition that affects women primarily, is the estrogenic pathway. And can diet have an impact on estrogen levels and the body's proper detoxification of estrogen?
Absolutely. Also, I notice in my patients, the patients who are on a birth control substance, as they tend to be more swollen as opposed to patients who are not taking birth control pills. And when do we see the onset of lipedema? We see it in early teens with the onset of puberty. And so hormonal influence is of great value for onset of lipedema. And progression then depends on the menopause. And it seems like the patients tend to increase very rapidly in the volume of the low extremity swelling and the consistency of swelling in the menopause. So hormones are playing very important role in lipedema.
Can we control the spigot of estrogen to some extent through dietary means?
Absolutely. Yeah, we can control it with appropriate diet and eliminate foods that they would promote estrogen's supply.
What would be some of those?
Soy milk can be eliminated, and there are so many different now almond milk instead of soy milk, and completely eliminate milks or dairy mm-hmm. intake.
Okay,
and that would be one of the aspects.
Great. And then, of course, another aspect of lymphatic function is the liver, because the liver seems to be a control point for lymphatic action. And for so many Americans, there's a very high prevalence of mild or even severe fatty liver, impaired liver function. So that's also a target for nutrition.
Absolutely. And what it's important is to do a detoxification sort of liver with the anti-inflammatory diet. And also we are promoting the soda pops and carbonated drinks, that they will strongly influence the toxicity in our system. And what I want to point out, the endotoxins that they are so toxic for our system, they should be also paid attention to, and eliminate the endotoxins and replace them with good bacteria. That is so important.
So the microbiome has an impact on this too.
Absolutely.
And
what I would like to point out is the probiotics. Very often I see patients being loaded with antibiotics, and they do not have any counterbalance of the necessary probiotic in the system. And the highest level of probiotic, the good bacteria that needs to be influenced our gut system, is kefir. K-E-F-I-R, kefir.
Right. Nonetheless, that is a dairy product, but that's an allowable dairy product in this program?
Well, there are dairy products that we recommend that they are not coming from the cow, but sheep cheese is excellent and goat cheese is excellent. They do not have the same bacterial influence on the gut. So if you can find the sheep or goat cheese product, then it will be far more beneficial.
Now, you stigmatize fat as being bad for this condition, but you actually highlight the benefits of a couple kinds of fats. One is MCT oil. The other one is omega-3, EPA. So those are beneficial?
Absolutely. And it is so important. The omega-3, we can find easily now in salmon or a good fish. But one has to be careful what type of fish we are eating. Fresh and wild caught salmon has omega-3. And if you compare that to farm-raised has higher level of omega-6, which is not good for our system. So the same thing applies for meat from the cattle. There is a great difference if it's grass-fed as opposed to the other grain-fed cow loaded with antibiotics, and the same thing for poultry.
What about MCT oil?
MCT oil is fantastic. It is coconut oil is probably the best. Initially, when you start cooking with coconut oil, it may have a little different taste, but cooking with coconut oil, and also coconut oil so beneficial for all other aspects, for not only digestion, but lately I read something about cosmetic products with coconut oil that they have great benefits for the skin, for the hair, for just about everything.
Right. And so talk a little bit about chylomicrons, because I think that kind of goes into your theory about fat. Certain fats, not so good, some fats, okay. And it's a little bit about how the lymphatic system transports fats. So can you speak to that?
Well, the lymphatic system is transporting fat, and when I do the ultrasound study, I can see how the fat is accumulating in subcutaneous tissue. Well, in terms of digestion, the fat is being digested and diverted into the bloodstream and small intestine to the bloodstream. I would recommend to go to our book, and I am sure that in the next few days, Dr. Karen Herbst is going to be another speaker who will highlight all the pertinent aspects of the chylomicron along with Linda and Khan, and I think they can point out more about that particular aspect of nutrition.
Yeah, from my standpoint, you know, chylomicrons are, when you eat fat, there are a couple of ways you can absorb. One, some types of fats like MCT oil don't have to go into the lymphatic system. They're absorbed directly, like my impression.
Yes.
But certain long chain fats, like what you get from really fatty meat or, you know, too much in the way of vegetable oils, they tend to form chylomicrons. And chylomicrons literally create sludge in your bloodstream and can impair lymphatic flow. So, you know, in someone who has high triglycerides, for example, literally you can, their blood is thick and it almost has a, the look of, borscht with sour cream in it. If you've ever had borscht with sour cream, that's the best way I can describe it. It's not, you know, bright blood red. It's more sort of creamy looking. And that kind of, these chylomicron particles, which are really, they're microscopic, but they're pretty, really quite large in the very tiny lymphatic channels. I think they will create blockage. So, I think your book makes an interesting connection between, that the wrong kind of fat and potential problems. So I want to move along to supplements in the remaining time that we have. What are some of your favorite supplements for this condition? Because, our listeners are busily getting out their pencil and paper.
From the supplements, the most important is for lymphedema, horse chestnut seed, pine bark.
Pycnogenol, like pycnogenol?
Pycnogenol, right. And a flavonoid extract. And typically we recommend for the patient, whether it's lipedema or lymphedema patient, to have a glass of water in the morning with few drops of lemon, fresh lemon into it to start with.
So and rutin and diosmin, those are good products as well?
Absolutely, including bromelain enzymes and or fresh pineapple. Another great supplement and for digestion is papaya extract or fresh papaya.
Because it contains papain, which is anti-inflammatory, and you know.
Correct. It is great difference whether you eat when you eat papaya in Hawaii as opposed to papaya brought here harvested when it's very green and so.
Tell me about it. They kind of go from the consistency of fossilized dinosaur eggs to rotten overnight. We never can get them quite right. You know, as much as we smell them and pinch them in New York markets, it's rare that we get good papaya. Okay, so you also talk about nitric oxide support with arginine, one of your favorite supplements.
A very favorite supplement. And arginine, it's easily, you can get that in vitamin store in a powder form or a pill form. And we do recommend about 3 grams up to 3 times a day.
Okay. And why is it that I never realized that nitric oxide played a role in this? How does that help the war effort in lymphedema?
It increases the metabolism, and the goal is to speed up the flow of the lymph system. And the goal of the supplements is to promote the lymph flow and deliver the oxygenation to the demanding area.
Okay. You also mentioned DHEA. What role could that play?
I would refer all the other aspects for Dr. Karen Herbst, who is doing fantastic research on all the supplements and the elements for not only lymphedema, but particularly for lipedema patients. And I'm sure that she will be enlightened to give you further discussion on this.
Great. We may do a follow-up with her, but I'll mention some of the other supplements in the book. Calcium D-glucarate, which I think, Dr. Eicher, you know, is something that actually helps with estrogen metabolism. It may help to moderate excess estrogen. So that's one that we use sometimes for what we call estrogen dominance. Many of the women with lymphedema probably have estrogen dominance. Systemic enzymes like WOB enzyme, proteolytic enzymes may help to reduce inflammation and swelling. They're used after injury, after all, and may play a role in lymphedema, according to some research. We'll probably follow up with your colleague to talk about that.
Right.
And
the systemic enzymes, the WOB enzymes, and 3-cycloforte, they are very commonly used in Europe.
Yeah.
I don't think that we have medication or FDA approval for WOB enzymes.
No, we do. It's available. Yeah, it's available over the counter.
Oh.
Yeah.
It is over the counter, yes.
Yeah, can get
but
it here.
But not as a prescription form.
No, correct. And that's why we need a vital unrestricted marketplace of supplements, because many of the things that aren't medically mainstreamed are available to consumers. You know, you go to a conventional doctor and they're not going to tell you to take pycnogenol, for example.
Right. So. From the other supplements, we do recommend B-complex. A lot of lipedema patients tend to be low on vitamin B, mm-hmm. vitamin D, vitamin C, and we know that with low level of vitamin D, there is correlation of certain types of cancer and low level of vitamin D. So from vitamin B complex, we recommend either 50 or 100 milligrams per day. Magnesium is very important, and that can be either taken orally in terms of spray or even bath, or quercetin.
Yes.
And we know that that increases the number of mitochondria.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the important supplement that we do recommend.
Yeah,
coenzyme Q10 also.
Good. Yeah, and you certainly talked about bioflavonoids, rutin and diosmin and things like that, and pycnogenol is among them. And it's of interest that before bioflavonoids were called bioflavonoids, they were called vitamin P or substance P, and the P stood for permeability. So what they did is they prevented capillary leakage. Discovered in your neck of the woods, not in where you're from. You're from Czechoslovakia, you told me earlier, but in Hungary by Albert St. Georgi, that bioflavonoids were called substance P. So there's a plausible mechanism by which they prevent leakage from the capillaries and potentially from the lymphatics into the extracellular space.
Very interesting. A lot of research on lipedema is done by Dr. Szolnoki in Hungary as well.
There you go. Mm-hmm. He's a worthy successor to the pioneer Albert St. Georgi from the early part of the 20th century. So there you have it. This is just a foretaste of what you'll find in this excellent book, very comprehensive, Lymphedema and Lipedema Nutrition Guide, Foods, Vitamins, Minerals, and Supplements. And Dr. Eicher, I think you'll agree that the take-home message is, yes, we need advanced techniques of various types of physical treatments, but diet is very central to the management of lymphedema and lipedema. And I want to thank you very much for your part in messaging that, getting the word out.
Thank you very much for inviting me, and I will promote this on my Facebook for all the patients to see the Intelligent Medicine podcast by Dr. Ronald Huffman.
Okay,
thank
great.
Thank you, Dr. Huffman.
We'll get the word out.
Thank you.
Before you go, I just want to get some resources from you. First of all, follow you on Facebook, Dr. Emily Eicher, and tell us about your clinic in Santa Monica. How can people find out about it? Is there a website?
Lymphedemacenter.com.
Okay. And any other source of information?
And the phone number is 310-829-7472.
Okay. Please repeat.
The area code is 310-829-7472.
Okay, great. And the clinic has a website?
On the www.lymphedemacenter.com.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dr. Eicher, for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.